What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to Day 31 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is called The Church's First Martyr. Tertullian said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Our text for today is Acts 7, 55 through 60. "But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Thoughts on today's reading. Today begins week 5 after the resurrection of our Lord. We are in a season of victory. As we will discover today, death for a servant of the Lord can be viewed as victorious. The psalmist declared, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." In today's scripture, we learn that Stephen was the first martyr in the church age to die for Jesus. Acts 7, 2-53 records Stephen's sermon to the religious leaders. After hearing Stephen's words, they were enraged, see verse 54. C. Peter Wagner shares what fueled their anger. "The trigger for violence was not Stephen's rebuke or even calling them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. It was Stephen saying, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" As Ernst Henkin says, "If Jesus stands on the right hand of God, this must show that the Christians are right in the sight of God and that the High Council is virtually God's enemy." From this point on, there was no stopping them. Why was Stephen murdered? Because this event is such a crucial turning point in the history of Christianity, let me concisely summarize what happened. Stephen had established that there was a fundamental, not just a superficial, difference between the old order, that of Jewish temple worship, and the new order, later called Christianity. No compromise was possible. All people groups, not just the Jews, could now have direct access to God through Jesus the Messiah. Gentiles could now be saved and remain Gentiles. This principle is the indispensable premise of all cross-cultural missionary work. It was, and still is, very difficult for many devout Jews to accept. Stephen had made explicit what had always been implicit, and by doing it, he had polarized the opinions. From that point on, high-level persecution was inevitable. When Stephen proclaimed that he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, see verse 56, this is the only time in all of the New Testament that the title Son of Man is used to describe Jesus except by Christ himself. So while many focus on Jesus standing as a sign of approval for Stephen's devotion, and rightly so, what is even more important is that the author acknowledges that the Son of Man had taken his rightful position in heaven as the Son of God. As you contemplate Stephen's willingness to die for Jesus and his testimony of Jesus as Messiah and Lord, may Kenneth Gangel's words encourage you to see the victory that occurred through Stephen's life and death. We have seen repeatedly throughout history that the blood of the martyrs is indeed the seed of the church. God planted it here, and countless times on all the continents of the world. In the late 1970s, missiologists estimated a population of 1 million Christians inside China. 15 years later, after severe persecution by the communists, experts reported 30 to 50 million believers. It also seems important that the first martyr was a layman, not a professional minister of some type. People willing to lay their lives on the line for the Lord hardly needed any special training or certification for such ultimate sacrifice. Amazingly, there have been more martyrs in the 20th century than in all previous 19 centuries. This kind of statistic boggles our minds, since we think of martyrdom as arising from medieval practices or the struggles of the Reformation. Countless Stephens have met their Lord during the last 100 years and are still doing so in countries worldwide. Stephanos is the word for crown, and Stephen will wear one someday. Of this man, Alfred Lord Tennyson once wrote, "He heeded not reviling tones, nor sold his heart to idle moans, though cursed and scorned and bruised with stones. But looking upward, full of grace, he prayed, and from a happy place, God's glory smote him on the face." Some questions to consider. What are your thoughts on Jesus standing in heaven when Stephen was dying? Why is it important that Stephen called the Christ the Son of Man? And finally, how can you live today for Christ so that one day you will hear him say, "Well done"? Thanks for joining us today.